This is LOA Today, the Law of Attraction Show. Welcome to LOA Today. I'm Walt Thiessen. Today is Thursday, November 5th, 2015. Happy Guy Fawkes Day to any revolutionaries out there. Last week's guest, Joel Elson, has been on the show twice before. I had him on last week to discuss his new book, The Bench, available at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and other fine bookstores. This week, as promised, we go back in time to my first interview with Joel from December 2012, in which he tells me the story of how he ended up eating from that dumpster in the first place. It's a story of how one man fell to rock bottom, then managed to claw his way back up to heights he never previously dreamed of. Here's how that interview went. And with me today is Joel Elson. He's a peer counselor at the Williamsville Wellness Center, just north of Richmond, Virginia, as well as its operations director. He is completing his BS in holistic nutritional health from Clayton College Natural Health in Alabama. The Williamsville Wellness Center includes concepts like the law of attraction in their approach to treating addiction, which is why we decided to invite Joel to discuss Williamsville Wellness with us today. So, Joel, welcome to the program.
Well, thank you very much. It's great to be here.
So let's go right to it. I have never heard of a wellness program that uses the law of attraction. Doesn't mean they don't exist, just means I have very limited exposure. But this is interesting. It's intriguing. How does all that work in? How did it come about?
Well, when we were opening, our founder, Bob Cavanis, is recovering a compulsive gambler and a recovering alcoholic. And he, when he went to treatment himself, he was baffled at the lack of success of some of the treatment centers that he was seeing, and he sort of dissected that concept. He wanted to come up with a wellness center that would address things maybe in a little different way than just the traditional 12-step method. You know, millions of people have found incredible recovery with the 12-step method, but there's always been that population base that did not seem to be able to get it. And they often feel that the program is a negative, has a negative base or a negative tone to it. So while we do use the 12 steps of recovery, but we bring to the table sort of the law of attraction. A lot of that came about when I came on board as director of operations. I've been in recovery from a gambling addiction now for 17 years. And I had amazing events happen throughout my life that made me discover. I was destined to learn about the law of attraction and understand how to use it in my life. And I have turned my entire life around by simply changing my perspective of certain things. And when I shared this with Bob, he became very excited, and he wanted to incorporate this whole concept. So when we started adding the law of attraction, it really became a very big portion of our program because so many people had never heard of the concept, much less applied it to addictive behavior. If you use the concept, or if you understand the concept of what we think about is what we attract. And so much of the 12-step program was based on abstinence-based thinking, which certainly abstinence is a prerequisite to obviously get in recovery. But when all you think about is don't drink, you automatically invite the concept of drinking back into your life.
Of course.
Versus the idea of, why don't we look at what health is? What is health? What is a healthy life? And let's focus on health, quality of life, and understanding that while I'm in my addiction, I'm powerless. And with powerless being a sort of a negative connotation here, a lot of people that feel that addiction is you're powerless over everything. Well, I have power not within my addiction. When I start gambling, I go absolutely crazy. But I have power to be healthy in my life, to look at the exciting things in my life, to look at good things in my life, and wake up every day and choose my mood by anticipating a good day. And when you combine those concepts, we have found the success rate soars with addiction, with any type of addiction, because people now are more focused on wellness versus sickness, or recovery versus addiction, if that makes any sense, Walt.
Mm-hmm. That definitely does make sense. In fact, I think one of the reasons the whole concept of what you're trying to do resonated with me is because one of the key concepts in LOA is the concept of attachment.
And the idea that as you become attached to something that you're trying to attract, you actually end up driving it away because the attachment's so strong. You can't have that kind of attachment all the time. That's really what addiction is anyway. So it seems natural to me that the whole concept will be applied there, and yet it's also fascinating to find, hey, it actually is being applied. That's pretty cool.
Well, and that you're so right. And if I may share a very brief story about the perspective of certain things, how you can, you know, I can't change what has happened. The events of my addiction are horrible. My perspective of some of those events have changed, and I would like to tell you that I was only homeless in Las Vegas once, but that would be a lie.
Oh, dear.
I was homeless in Las Vegas a few times, and one of the times I was homeless, I had not eaten in 4 days, and my ego would not allow me to ask for help, and I was in really desperate straits. I was out of money and very hungry, and I had a day where I had to eat out of a trash can. I grew up in a upper middle class, wealthy type environment. I really was a very spoiled young man, and I went behind a McDonald's and went in the dumpster and ate out of the trash can one day, and that was a very low point in my life.
Yeah,
that's almost a trauma that I went through, Walt, and through many, I would love to tell you after that event, I never gambled again. That's not accurate. I gambled quite a bit after that.
That's all right. I like that kind of reality.
Well, and what happened beyond that was when I found recovery. I got into recovery after just getting sick and tired of this behavior. And I would have nightmares about this trauma of eating out of a trash can. It was just so disgusting. And no matter when I would get emotional or I'd bring something back, I would remember that. And believe it or not, that would create, you would think that would make me not want to gamble, but that would actually create an urge for me to gamble. So I viewed that as a severe trauma.
Mm.
Well, many, many years passed, and one of my passions has been, I work with kids that are in foster care, finding them adoptive homes and stuff like that. So making a long story short, I eventually became a foster parent to a young man who had been horribly abused as a child. I mean, just unspeakable acts.
Wow.
And I knew how damaged he was, and I was approached by foster care in South Carolina to become a what they call a therapeutic foster parent for this child. And this was his last stop before the state hospital. So with some help of some incredible people in my life, this young man went from being an 11-year-old who could not even read and weighed 62 pounds to a young man in 3 months that weighed 85 pounds and could read on grade level. That was just an amazing event. His behavior totally turned around.
Wow.
Well, the psychologist that was working with him said this is an amazing turn, but he is yet to talk about his history or his past.
Mm-hmm.
And if you could help do that, then we could facilitate an emotional recovery. So his name is TJ, this young man. And I sat him down one Saturday, and I said, TJ, we need to talk about the past. And he started crying, so I'm not discussing that at all. And I won't use his exact language because it was pretty blunt, but he asked me in a real fit of rage, he pounded the table, crying profusely, and he looked at me and he goes, how would you know what it's like to eat out of a trash can? Well, Walt, to be honest with you, my perspective of that day changed completely. Because I've eaten out of a trash can, I was able to relate to this kid.
Mm.
I shared that with him. By the way, I adopted that young man. He's a grown man. He's in college right now.
Oh, that's great.
And so while the event of the past never changed, the law of attraction taught me to change my perspective of these events, if that makes any sense to you.
Oh, it does. In fact, what you just described is an attracting situation. You went through, because the law of attraction can work either way. It can be both positives and negatives. And you went through
exactly.
A negative experience that brought you somebody else who had gone through a similar negative experience, which you managed to turn from lemons into lemonade. That's really an excellent and outstanding application of LOA.
Well, and that's where I really started to become understanding, have an understanding of how my life, the five worst days of my life, Walt, and that was one of them, by the way, all turned out to be the most liberating, or life-changing events that I could imagine. I now view what I used to think as my five worst days as my five greatest liberating days. And we've worked with people, we have had great success with people who have had a lot of childhood traumas that are able to change their perspective of the traumas, And doesn't make the traumas any better. I would never, ever say trauma is a good thing.
No.
It's what we can do from them. And so instead of this post-traumatic stress syndrome, I've seen people find recovery with the law of attraction by changing the event, by changing perspective. And I know that's a very deep concept for a lot of people, but I have I've just seen amazing results. And so when you apply it to the addictive quality, if you honestly believe addiction, which I do, has underlying causes, you can most times apply the law of attraction to those underlying causes, change your perspective, and then turn, you know, sort of whatever bricks life throws at me, I'm going to take and build a house with them. And that's what the law of attraction brings. And the more I've implemented in my life, the more successful in every area of my life I become. And when I find myself, and I don't do it as much, when I get into the negative situations, I always immediately try to force my way of thinking back to the positive. And if I teach my patients that, I have constant emails and Facebook updates of people that are applying this technique that are finding long-term sustained recovery by implementing the concepts of the 12 steps, but not focusing on the negative. It isn't that I don't get to gamble any longer, Walt. I no longer have to gamble. And that's a totally different way of looking at it. And there are purists in the 12 step would say that's an irrelevant delineation, but I disagree with that. The fact that I absolutely believe me not gambling, is a choice that I no longer have to take anymore. And
I agree with you. I would disagree with them. I'm not sure where that comes from. In fact, my wife's a former psychotherapist. I'd want to ask her about it, too, to see what she could tell me. But I agree with you. I can't really fathom the idea that that's not an important point.
Well, and you know, it's human nature. And I probably think it, in all humans, I certainly can speak for most males that I know. So I've yet to figure out the female side on a lot of things. But most males I know have. The moment you tell me I can't do something, I want to do it so incredibly bad. It's a natural, I think that's a natural rebellion in all humans on some level. But when I can adjust my thinking patterns to, wait, I no longer have to do this, that changes everything. I don't have that rebellion going on against it. And I truthfully can tell you, I have not had an urge to gamble in over 10 years. I haven't gambled over 17. I'm very aware that I still potentially could fall into that same pattern. But the law of attraction has changed everything in my life. I have found 33 kids that have been in foster care, adoptive homes. I now look in another direction. I'm not saying that in an arrogant way. I'm saying that I surround myself with positive situations. And the only result can be positive results. There's no other option when you truly do that.
I'm getting my head around that. 33 kids, that's a lot of kids.
Yes. The population in most states, and this was in South Carolina, but everybody wants to adopt that brand-new, beautiful little baby. There's a waiting list for that. But there are hundreds in every state, if not thousands, of 5 to 14-year-old kids that are desperate for any type of home, and most come with a lot of baggage.
Right.
And like my son TJ, who was found naked looking for food in a garbage can. He was not well when I got him. But us sort of growing this together, he's very much a believer in the law of attraction, and he doesn't view his childhood as trauma any longer.
Wow.
He views it as it, he said it made me tough as nails, and it did. He's probably one of the toughest people I respect most on the planet because of what he overcame and not being able to read at 11 years of age and being able to be on a roll in college is a pretty good deal.
It is a very good deal. I have to admit I'm not totally surprised by that one fact, because I know through an alternative school that my wife and I helped open in Connecticut, that is actually the normal behavior, that it's quite reasonable for kids, regardless of their background, to not be able to read at age 11, be able to read at age 12, just because know, they found a reason to do so. But to also have gone through all the other stuff and have managed through the help of people like you to come out on the other side, not only to come out, but also to come out with a positive attitude, that's the part that's really impressive, because that's much rarer.
Well, and Walt, to be honest with you, and this will sound very cliche-ish if I'm trying to sell a concept, but it's something I really believe. I am so incredibly grateful for everything that happened. I have been beat in the head with a 2x4. I have been to jail. I have, had a horrible just chain of events that went on. And I am so grateful for each of those events because they made me the person that I am today. I have much more empathy for people. I've worked with over 2,000 addicts in the last 10 years. And help them find recovery. Many of them are in great recovery right now. And again, that's taking whatever happens. My belief system revolves around whatever hand you've been dealt, you take it and you play it with gratitude, and you invite more. My addiction.
I love the way that you take a gambling metaphor and turn it into a positive when that was such a negative in your life. That's fantastic.
Exactly. That's how you, in whatever events happen, they have happened. And it's our job on a daily basis. If I can go into, my son actually showed me, I have another son I adopted who was 8 years old when I adopted him. And he's 16 now and doing well. But we lived in a gated community in South Carolina. And right after I adopted the boys, I had, it was a real stressful time, and I, long story on how I ended up with two, but I started to adopt one and ended up with two. So I was trying to get, I had to get to two different schools in about 7 minutes, and I was really running late. So I go to the back gate, and I can only describe it. I normally give visuals with this, but to the back gate does not have a guard. It just works automatically. Well, the back gate was down. I couldn't get it to work. So I had to buzz the guard and had to wait like 5 minutes for him to get there. About a quarter mile up the road is the stoplight to the main highway, which we would take a left on to get to school. So I knew, and it took forever in that light. So as the guard came, and I was real abrupt with the guard, and he goes, "I'm sorry you had to wait, sir." And I'm like, "Whatever." And, not practicing the law of attraction at all that day.
Well, you were, just not the kind you had in mind.
Yeah, exactly, the reverse side. And so as I pulled out, the light was green, and I knew it was going to turn yellow before we get there. There was no shot. But while it was green, a semi-tractor flew through the light at about 60 miles an hour.
Oh, boy.
My son, who I wasn't in the mindset to see this, but my 8-year-old said, "Dad, if we wouldn't have been stopped by that gate, we would have been hit by that truck."
Right.
And immediately I'm like, oh, my gosh, why do I keep doing this? Why do I keep following into negative thought patterns when things I don't think, thank goodness I got stopped by that gate, because he's exactly right. The timing of it would have more than likely had us right in the intersection, and that, in a sense, the law of attraction, understanding where we go with everything. No matter what happens in the day, we choose to allow it to affect us however we choose to allow it. And it changes. I've had people say, this information changes my life, not tomorrow, instantly, when you understand how to use it.
Louise and I started this radio show in September, on our wedding anniversary, actually. And I started doing interviews in November. So this is a very new show. And yet in the very limited time that we've been doing interviews, that I've been doing most of the interviews, I have been amazed over and over again how, when I bring somebody onto the show, they have a message for me that is appropriate for me. And it happens almost every single time so far. And I've only done, like, I don't know, half a dozen to a dozen interviews, something like that. Here it is again. Somebody coming to me, talking about all these absolutely miserable things that have happened to them and saying they're the best thing that could possibly have happened. And I am so grateful for them. Now, I and anybody else who has ever studied law of attraction and read all the books and so forth have heard this over and over again. You know, learn to express appreciation for them, even though these were negative events. But to actually talk to somebody who not only does it, but who does it with enthusiasm, wow! I can't tell you how impressive that is.
Well, I appreciate that, and to me, I tell people all the time, the greatest gift that I ever have received in my life has been the understanding of the law of attraction. The law of attraction, just like you said a little earlier, I believe, was the law of attraction is going to work one way or another.
Oh, yeah.
It's at work all the time. Gravity's at work all the time. I don't debate with gravity. It just is there. The law, if I did debate with gravity, I would be someplace else. But the law of attraction operates on the same principle. It doesn't care if it's negative or positive. It's making no distinguishing factor. Gravity is really good because it keeps us on the earth. It keeps us grounded. Now, if you're on a 100-story building and fall off of it, gravity's not good at that time. It's your perspective of it at the time. Gravity is. The law of attraction just is. And once you tune into the book The Secret, I think, you know, pretty commercialized, but it's a lot of good stuff in that. But even when you go back to the older stuff, Think and Grow Rich by Napoleon Hill, mm-hmm. A lot of this stuff was simply about understanding the mindset of success and happiness. And you can instantly, not 6 weeks from now, I help people instantly change their perspective. And once you change your perspective, that sets off, I'm doing some research right now with a couple of people on positive psychology, which is sort of the science of the law of attraction in a sense. And it is really, the brain chemicals actually change when you change your perspective. Depression can be defeated. I know that's a controversial subject for many people, and I'm certainly not ever advocating people get off any medication or any of that, but for a lot of people, they have found an ability to control their depression using the law of attraction, using the concepts of it, because traumas and depression are often simply an attitude.
It's interesting that you mentioned this, because in early November, we did one of our earliest interviews with my brother and his girlfriend. His girlfriend is pursuing a degree, a PhD, in the biomedical sciences with an emphasis on neurology and neuroscience. And she was talking about exactly the same thing, about the fact that when whatever your mental state, whatever things you're thinking about, positive or negative, you are creating certain chemical and endorphin and hormonal flows that have direct physical impact on your body within seconds. In fact, she even described, I guess there's a 90-second cycle, so that every 90 seconds your entire physiology changes based on what you've been thinking about for the last 90 seconds. Very interesting that here you are coming and saying virtually the same kind of thing.
Well, that's where the new stuff is going to come from. That's, you know, for a long time, the law of attraction for a lot of people was viewed as, you know, I've heard it called all kind of names or what have you, but now there's some science being attached to it in the positive psychology side. What the law of attraction is addressing, how it physically changes things. And, you know, I have learned for a long time during my addicted behavior, I went to several doctors and everybody said, well, you're really depressed. And I'm like, yeah, thank you. I wasn't me wanting to shoot myself or what was it going to give that away?
You win the award for obvious, right?
Exactly. Thanks for that. However, when I changed everything in the way I started thinking, I'm no longer on any medication. I tried those for a while. They didn't seem to help. My attitude today, I'm not remotely depressed. In fact, I wouldn't trade places with anybody on the planet. I have an incredible life. I have made an impact in other people's lives that would be far-reaching. I've found kids' homes that had no home to live in. And again, this isn't with arrogance I'm stating. This is just...
It sounds like excitement to me.
Yeah, I'm just excited about having this knowledge. And when we look at, you and I were having a conversation, I think, before the radio show began, about some of the world events going on.
Right.
And the perception of negativity invites more of this negativity.
It does.
And we, you know, the economy is simply a state of mind. It's about how we feel about things. And when you are able to realize that there's an abundance to be had, there's no limit, and how to tune into that and get that, then you're without lack. You know, the lack that most people fear is the lack that people invite.
It's interesting that you mentioned the economy in particular, because that's actually one of my big interest areas outside of LOA. In fact, it's something I've focused on for quite some time. I wrote a novel about the financial crisis of 2008. I've been a real student of how the monetary and banking system works, and I know all the negatives about it. I can tell you every single one of them. But one of the things that I've been really trying to learn the last year is how to stop focusing on all the negatives and look for where the positives would be. Like, assuming we can think about what kind of changes we could make, what kind of positive results could come out of that, and what are the reasons for being hopeful and for thinking that, yeah, things can improve and so on and so forth. That's actually been more of a challenge than actually learning how all this stuff works.
Well, and when you get into a state of mind, I mean, certainly you're much more versed in the economy probably than I am, but I have a friend that used to build steering wheel columns for Mercedes-Benz in South Carolina.
Okay.
Well, so when the real estate bubble burst and everybody quit spending money, home prices fell and people quit buying Mercedes-Benz at the rate they were buying them. So he was quickly laid off. He quit spending any money, or he started saving a bunch of money because he didn't have a job now. He couldn't spend any more money. So the stores he frequented and the places he went lost business. They stopped, and it became a chain of events, all because the perspective of everything changed. Well, an economy, in a sense, is, and I know it's a lot deeper than this on some financial level, but the end of the day, your perspective of, boy, this is a great Christmas. I want to buy all this extra stuff, or I'm going to do this, or I'm not going to buy as much, sort of sets the whole chain in motion. And I know financially for me, is I actually practice the concept of literally, I would print out a bank statement of mine, and I would add a one in front of it or a zero on the end. And I would actually start thinking that, this is how much money I have. And I'm shocked that I have seen in the last 10 years, I do very well, but I have several sources of income. I would be affected by the tax increase on the wealthy. It's just because, and I never thought of it that way, but I've invited more of an abundance, and I give away a lot of money. I just it seems like the more I give away, I get more in. and it changes every aspect in relationships. I have much better relationships now because the stuff that I would get involved in, the drama and all that, is irrelevant now. So every aspect of my life that I can apply, every aspect of my life that I do apply the law of attraction, I find growth. If I fall back into old way of thinking, I find myself, well, I'm getting out of whack here. I'm falling out of the system, so to speak.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I interviewed a guy who's a personal trainer in L.A. named Gary Kovat yesterday, and Gary talks about that as if you're losing connection with yourself.
Yes. I do competitive powerlifting. I'm very much into healthy eating and the whole everything. It's a big package for me that, I'm thankful for my food. I all the food that I eat, I'm thankful for. I believe that food comes into my body in a good perspective. It's nourishing me. And I mean, and that's taking the law of attraction to the extreme. I have an abundance now, and I'm not saying this in a way that some people say, well, you're going to lose it all because you're bragging, but it's not bragging. It's an abundance that we each possess, and it's not so much a number or a tangible as it's being able to tune into the abundance. And when you get on the frequency of the abundance, you invite it more in. You invite more of it into your life. And just like if you focus on the bad part of your relationship, unfortunately, you're going to get more of the same bad part of the relationship. So it just is a big picture that you're very in tune with, Walt. And the fact that you're doing this radio show, I really think this is the ultimate answer to our country, to the world's problems.
Oh, wow.
To this.
I certainly hope that would be true. I'm not sure if I'm egotistical enough to believe that's going to be the case, but thank you for the vote of confidence anyway.
if everybody could get into this, maybe not your radio show per se, but the concept of the law of attraction could do it, and this is a piece of us getting there. And it's amazing that not more – I find it difficult that there are so many people that sort of discount this as being, because it's amazing to me what it's done in my life and everybody I know that's instituted in their life. I mean, I've seen people who are bedridden and depressed and 500 pounds that the only change they made in their life was their perspective. Mm. And they're up and about now.
Yeah, I agree with you. Yeah.
And that's amazing to me.
It is amazing. It is amazing. One thing that does occur to me, and this is the kind of thing I like to ask a lot of people I interview, it seems particularly important and appropriate in this case because of the kind of people you tend to deal with in your industry, people who come into the wellness center dealing with some sort of an addiction, they're looking for help. I imagine that you also run into people who you present this whole idea of the law of attraction and they resist it. They're skeptical. They push it away. How do you deal with them?
Well, obviously, we take whatever avenue we can to get them in recovery. There's going to be a certain number of people that are just, and a lot of people think I'm talking religion, whereas mm-hmm. I personally do believe in God. I certainly don't equate this. This is one, you know, God, in my mind, God created gravity, created the law of attraction. It's just one of the things that are out there. I certainly don't get into any of that, but a lot of people feel that's what we're talking about. So while we do have some people that are resistant, you'll be shocked at the number of people that you know, even if I can get them to say, well, does negative thinking work? And I can almost get everybody to agree that negative thinking is not a positive.
Hmm.
And so if negative thinking is bad, does positive thinking hurt? And you can usually get people to understand, and once you can get them, I do a lot of, like in a session, my goal when I sit down with somebody, most people come in, they're horribly depressed, they're feeling bad about their life. Well, after an hour with me, I am usually successful at getting people's mood lifted. That's what my specialty is.
Well, you have a good personality, I can see that.
Well, thank you. So what I try to get them to see is you walked in the room with no hope, and after an hour of talking to me, you now have hope. That's the law of attraction. You're thinking the positive. What are we going to do? Let's put our mindset in that direction. So it is not near the people you would think that are resistant to it. I have people that are resistant to everything. I have some people that come in and they think, you know, I already have all the answers. Like, well, they're not working too well for you. or you wouldn't be here. And a lot of times I can get them there. But I would say it's a very small percentage of those that at least don't get some level of this. A lot of time, to get to the level of it where I'm at now, or it sounds like you're at, or a lot of people, it's a big leap. But you start by understanding the little changes you make start to change your reality immediately. My reality is dictated by my perspective, and my perspective is in my control. So in a sense, I can control my reality totally. And that's, you know, that's the, one of the lines I use with people, that everybody agrees that pain in life and recovery is an unavoidable event. Pain is going to exist. Suffering from that pain is an option. And suffering is a wallowing in versus, you know, I went out a couple years ago, had my gallbladder out, 11 o'clock, I had it out. I wake up at 1 o'clock in my room, put my shoes on, get my keys, tell the doctor, thank you. And he's like, well, no, you can't leave. I go, I'm great, thanks. and I literally got to go home that night, and he wasn't planning on me going home that night. I was recovering. I knew I was recovering. I was well. He was success. My gallbladder went bad, so instead of it being a negative, he fixed it. I'm feeling great. Never looked back. Never had a problem from it again. Again, that perspective dictates the other stuff. So when you can get people to feel it, that's the advantage of me having somebody here for 28 days. I can get them to feel it. And once they feel it, it becomes a tool. So it's a very long answer to your question, but very few people reject it.
Yeah, I can see that. In fact, it makes me wonder if this is why we hear so many LOA-related stories about that kind of start with somebody telling a story who hit bottom.
Yes.
Wonder if it's the act of hitting bottom that opens people up.
Somebody told me, and I agree with this, I'll give you my bottom day. You know, my fiancé had dumped me. I stole money to gamble from a company that I worked for. Mm-hmm. They were pressing charges. The my mom and dad aren't speaking to me because of just the horrible stuff I've done to them financially. The vehicle I'm in is about to be repossessed, and I'm homeless. So, you know, and I'm going to be facing criminal charges, and plus, had $250,000 in credit card debt. So, I'm not looking real good, and things aren't going real well. But in a sense, Walt, I was freed up from anything. At that point, nothing mattered. So, in a sense, I was more free at that point than ever in my life.
Wow.
I had, you know, and so I actually was standing on a beach in Florida, and I had a decision to make that day, whether or not I was going to, I forget exactly my terminology to myself, but I was going to, will I end it all, or will I start living? And I made a decision to start living that day, and I said, I'm going to take every piece of advice, I'm going to look at the people that are being successful and do what the people are successful. And I decided to make that decision. I've stopped with the negative behavior. I started learning. I was introduced to the law of attraction. And again, it didn't hit me immediately, but I picked up bits and pieces of it. And when I started realizing how effective this was, not just it's happening one way or another, when I learned how to control it and how effective that was, then I realized I have access to the greatest power on the planet in the law of attraction.
Mm-hmm.
There is nothing stronger. No matter where you're at, if your mind's in the right place, you know, I know people that I have a very diverse, group of friends, and I have friends who literally are billionaires, some of the most wealthy people in the country, and they're miserable.
Mm.
And I have friends that live in mobile homes that are the happiest people you've ever seen in your life. Their perspective is what dictates their happiness.
Mm-hmm.
And the idea that sometimes I have an abundance, I have all I need, but I'm not tied to any of that stuff. I don't need all that stuff to make me happy. It comes from my happiness, but I don't need it to make me happy, if that makes any sense to you.
That's a very key concept.
Yes, and that's where people, I don't look at a lack. I lack nothing. There's nothing I lack. And because of that, I have an abundance. But at the same time, if that abundance were to disappear tomorrow, I still have an abundance, and it's a hard place for people to get to. But when get there, you it's amazing.
The stuff is separate.
Exactly.
And the thing that is a key point here is not just that the stuff is separate, but as you, I think you actually said it, I'm not sure if you hinted at it or said it, it's not the source of your happiness. What is the source of your happiness?
The source of my happiness understanding that the concept of, we all are intended to be happy. We're taught as children, unfortunately, negatives. I really believe that we are all happy souls, that a lot of stuff happens and it gets worn down. I'm an incredibly powerful person, not just physically, mentally, spiritually, and I am enthused about life. And when this body gives up, and it's a long time before that's going to happen, my spirit, I really believe, is just going to keep going. It energy, you can't kill energy.
That's right.
You know, this body's going to end, you know, and I'm fighting that right now, but not giving up easy on that. But when it does, my strong spirit's going to be there. There's something else out there, and there was something before my existence now. I'm pretty sure of that.
Oh,
so
I agree.
The idea that this spirit or this whatever you want to call it is the power. So my happiness goes, this is not just for the 80 years or 90 years I'm going to be on this planet or the 120 I'm planning, but it's just not for that period. This is going to go on, and it was started before I was here. This is just a manifestation of my spirit right now, and so I'm just excited about what's next. It's growth. It's about the amazing things that are around the corner. And while I'm here, you know, if I can make other people understand this, live it. This is what if life makes no sense unless we're here to do stuff. There's a mission for everybody, and you know, what better mission it could be to help other people understand this and feel better and get excited and enthusiastic about life.
My wife Louise likes to say that we are spiritual beings having a human experience, or perhaps another way to say it, we are beings of light having a human experience, and that seems to be exactly what you're talking about.
Exactly my point. When you shine a beam of light up in the sky, when I was a kid, I used to like to act like I'm pointing it at the moon, you know? Well, that light, that energy, it just goes. There's no stopping it. It doesn't just disappear. We're energy. Energy doesn't disappear. It has to reform and manifest. This chemically, this body full of chemicals that we live in is going to peak and die at some point. But that energy disappears, and it doesn't disappear. It goes to the next level, to that next space. And so I'm very in tune with what your wife's saying. But that is exciting to me. That's not. That doesn't, in my mind, infringe on anyone's religion.
No.
This is not about it. This is simply about sort of the dynamics of it all. And you know, if we can all start to understand that and not get focused, when I quit focusing on my lack of money or my lack of a relationship or my lack of anything, and I started focusing on the abundance, it all came to me. And that's, you don't have to go search for what it comes to. It doesn't mean you don't work hard. I work very hard.
Mm-hmm.
But I work hard in a positive concept, and it just comes my way. And that changes everything. So when I hear about the bad economy, and I'm certainly not anybody listening to this that is not having a good time in life right now and not doing well financially, I certainly am not by any means trying to make this sound more arrogant than it comes across, but I'm having a wonderful economy right now. And I know that at this time people are sort of maybe could be offended by that. I don't want it to be offensive than understanding my perspective is inviting. No matter what happens, I'm having a wonderful economy.
What does that mean, having a wonderful economy? It means something very specific to you.
Having a wonderful economy means I have enough money to pay my electric bill, to pay my house payment, to feed my child, pay for our medical care, go on a vacation to Florida. The things that everything we need, we certainly can afford, and most things we want, we get. And my economy is good because my mindset of my economy is good. If I start looking at it like, oh boy, we're tight on money, people misunderstand this. It's not about being a free spender. I certainly, live within my budget, and my means, but within that, I have everything I need. So my personal economy is really my own mindset of my financial situation. My perspective of the personal economy is when you have an understanding of where you're at and your abundance in life. I don't fear not being able to pay my mortgage payment. I know I'm going to have enough money to do that. Doesn't mean I get to sit home on the couch and money's going to come in. It means I have confidence when I do that. So I do life coaching with people who have been chronically unemployed. And they get in a mindset and they get stuck on certain things. So I work with them in changing their mindset about, first of all, understanding employment, jobs, money, the pool, and really get them in a different mindset. So the fear of being unemployed manifests in almost a paralyzing way. Whereas learning how to apply the law of attraction to this, I have people that haven't worked for 2 years, they get a job in 2 weeks of starting this life coaching. It changes their perspective. You unintentionally put off, when I sit down with a potential employer, no matter how good of an actor I am, they're going to pick up on the vibe of where I'm at. And if I'm in that negative mindset, they're not going to want to hire me. But I've never sat down in front of somebody who didn't hire me instantly. If that makes any sense.
It does make sense. Actually, it's something I can identify with. I haven't gone out for an interview in, probably 20 years or so, but that was the same experience I would have. And I always wondered why it was that I had so much angst about getting hired, and then all of a sudden, boom, I talked to somebody and they wanted to hire me.
I have gone and done presentations and been offered jobs doing presentations.
Wow.
And again, I did that because it – a lot of that comes, and people say, well, you're a good speaker. If you look at I turned a felony conviction into a credential.
That's quite a thing. You actually put it on your resume, felony conviction, that's my credential.
I've been pardoned for my crime. But technically you were never charged.
Right.
I have no problem telling people that. I'm very proud that I was at that bottom. I'm not proud of my actions leading to that bottom, Walt, but I'm very proud from that bottom. I have been able to make a total comeback.
And that is something to be proud of.
And so in a sense, that bottom propelled me to become a person I never had a shot of being before. I'm just super excited that life gave me this chance. So in a sense, it was school for me. It was just an education for me.
And it sounds like you've applied it going forward into your life since then by helping other people basically do the same thing, make the same kind of turnaround and achieve the same kind of rebuilding of their pride, so to speak.
Exactly. And that's why when, you know, again, the random law of attraction world hooked us up, I think through Twitter, actually.
Mm-hmm.
We chatted a little bit on Twitter, and I think there's no coincidences. People come across people's paths that for different reasons, you never know, some of them you don't know, but this ability for us to carry this message, and I really, really believe that there's not a person in this country that this knowledge would not help on some level.
Mm-hmm.
And we would all be a different place if we could, you know, get in this process of looking at it from a different set of eyes. And instead of being so judgmental and stuck in our way of thinking, of understanding, look, let's, quit fighting the same things about what we don't want, and let's get what we do want, and let's work together. And that would change everything. I think while we use this concept in addiction treatment, and we're starting to see just amazing recovery results for people that actually apply this. And for people, I've had people that have relapsed 10 times. They've been to Gamblers Anonymous or they've been to Alcoholics Anonymous for years. And this is the piece that they apply that allows them to get into long-term sustained recovery. Because instead of a negative, again, the 12-step protocol focuses on what you lack or what you can't do, versus I focus on everything you can do, all that's out there.
I love that a lot. And one particular reason I love it a lot is that I did learn a long time ago, even though I had not yet really been exposed to the whole concept of the law of attraction. I knew the idea of positive thinking, but that's about as far as I knew about it at that time. And yet I did learn that you can't just get rid of a habit. You have to replace it with another habit. You can't just say, end of habit, nothing else goes on, because that's
absolutely
not the kind of beings we are. We always want to be doing the next thing, whatever the next thing is. And if we don't give ourselves something good to replace a bad habit with, we'll just go into another bad habit again. It's just, we'll just keep falling into the same pattern.
That is so true. And understanding that is the key to just sort of moving forward. Everything that happens can be a learning experience, or it can be a traumatic event, and you get to choose which it is. And it is a very difficult concept for so many people because, again, we are raised, I was told that, and I have great parents, by the way, let's please don't, but just how we were raised. I was told my limitations, you can't do this, or those are things that, you're not good at this or you're not good at that. A lot of people say, that's helping me, keep. No, we are taught limitations.
We are.
I don't think we're limited. Now, I certainly am not going to be able to go dunk a basketball tomorrow. That's not in my genetic makeup. I'm not talking about those type of limitations. But
I'm not even sure you want to, do you?
I have no desire at this point. But I have things I can do that no one else can do. People that can dunk a basketball can't do some of the stuff that I do. So it's not about all that. My limitations, I have to find out what I excel at, what I'm great at. My dad owns an insurance company. And for years, before all my trouble in gambling started, I was working for him. And with great respect to my father and to the business of insurance, there is nothing more boring than sitting behind an insurance desk selling insurance. Well, Now, I started gambling. I took money from the company. Eventually, Dad had to fire me from our own business. And we have certainly made up, and I paid back the money, and everything's great in that end. But believe it or not, thank goodness, the idea of 40 years sitting behind that desk selling insurance?
Yeah.
Wow. It was not a great event for me. This is a wonderful event. Now that I get to do this, I get to help people. My dad and I are very close right now. He completely gets it. And, you know, it was great for him. It's not great for me. And so that's an understanding that we all have different gifts. And instead of telling a kid you can't do this, you automatically limit that kid. You know, what is he going to excel at? You know, if a kid has ADD, you don't want to set him up for failure by putting him in a class, teaching him where you have to memorize a whole bunch of numbers and spend an hour. So, you know, you're setting him up to fail.
Sure.
You know, if you judge if you were to judge, I'm trying to think of a good analogy here, but if you were to judge a squirrel on its ability to swim, and you'd say, well, you know, he's not a really good swimmer. Well, you know, the squirrel would be stupid, not a good swimmer. But if you judge his ability to go up a tree and then say, well, the fish is really stupid because it can't go up the tree.
Mm-hmm.
Again, it's about what, you know, taking with, you know, whatever the universe is giving us, making the most of it, being having a positive perspective. This is not a dress rehearsal. This is our life. I can either wallow in what's happened or learn from it and move on and make it a positive.
It reminds me of what a sports coach I admired once said many, many years ago. He said, I don't ask any of my players to do things that they can't do. What I ask them to do is to do things that they can do better than they've ever done before.
I just had an almost same meeting with my staff. I have everybody here in my business has strengths. And one of the things that I found we were doing unintentionally is we were putting people in positions that did not favor their strengths. So what I had done is you know, we readjust. These are your strengths. I know you can do it. In fact, I want you to do it better than you've ever done it. I'm not going to put you over in this position doing the things that I know you're not, that is not your best. Let's focus on your strengths, and I want you to push that bar higher. The law of attraction years ago when, Sir Roger Bannister wrote the 4-Minute Mile, It had never been done. In fact, there were writings saying that it's humanly impossible to run a mile in 4 minutes.
Oh, it was generally accepted truth that it was impossible to do.
Yes. When he did it, 19 people did it in the next 3 months.
Yeah.
Because the mindset allowed that to happen. They're focused on did it. As I said before, I do powerlifting. I've done this when people get to sticking points on like a bench press. I did this 2 nights ago to a young man. He was stuck on a magic number for powerlifters, just 315 pounds on the bench press. That's the next step is 405 after that. So he could do 305 pounds twice. But when we put 315 on there, he couldn't do it. Mentally, he was blocked on 315.
Mm-hmm.
So I told him, I said, he was laying on the bench. I said, here, let me put 310 on there. We know you can do 310 once, maybe twice. Let's try it. So he does it. I put the weight on there. He does it. Well, I have him stand up and count. I put 320 on there. He did it twice.
Yeah. Did you do that deliberately? I have to ask you.
Yes.
You did? Okay.
I do it all the time. Yeah, and I just say, you lay down and stay on the bench, and I'll just put the weight on there. So when they stand up and count it, they're amazed. Well, he immediately, 3 workouts later, is doing, you know, 340, you know. That mental block is what got him, and he was focused on he could not do it. This is a young man that had not cerebral palsy, had some kind of muscle disorder years ago, and he's in remission from that, and he's doing very well. So he was always told, you will never be able to do these things. Well, he's doing them because those limitations that we impose on ourselves and our kids and our family members are not necessary. And the law of attraction tells us what we attract, we can do. There is nothing impossible. If we can envision it, it can happen.
And that's very powerful. That is very, very powerful indeed. Where is Where do you see the development of Williamsville Wellness going in the immediate future? I mean, is it going to continue to be one facility, one location? Are you expanding, or are you thinking of expanding the program in any way, or basically are you just continuing along the same path you've been on?
Well, we certainly are going to keep the quality work we're doing at this facility, but we are in talks with some other locations, potentially some universities. There are a lot of people intrigued about this idea, and if you also do some research, as I've mentioned a couple times, on positive psychology, which, again, to me, is the science of the law of attraction in a sense, mm-hmm. when you really research that, that's gaining some momentum. That's the hot topic in psychology today. So we actually are talking to a couple of universities right now about setting up facilities at some universities across the country.
Wow.
Which, you know, because this, in a sense, again, I'm not trying to sound over dramatic with this. This could change everything in the addiction world. It can change everything in medicine if you would allow it, if they would allow it to happen.
Mm. Yeah, I agree with that.
Because it's somewhere between the, you know, I'm very much into nutrition and all that stuff, and it's one of my things I'm passionate about. However, I certainly know if you're very ill, you need traditional medicine. But somewhere in the middle is a hybrid answer to this stuff. Silly example, but I'm getting a little off topic, but I'll get right back to it, is my son one day had conjunctivitis, called our doctor friend. He believes like I do, and he says, look, I don't want to take an antibiotic to a little virus. He should put some sea salt in his eye. It's going to sting. Do it 3 days. If the conjunctivitis is still there, I'll give you an antibiotic. Sea salt cleared it right up.
Mm.
We are antibiotic resistant. So a new perspective, a positive perspective, instead of, you know, the idea that I need to go, I'm sick, my eye hurts, you know, the idea that, you know, let's look at what nature provides. What, and using the law of attraction is one of those tools that nature provides, just like gravity, just like fire, it's just like any of the other elements or forces in the universe. It's just learning how to contain it. Fire at one point was one of the worst evils on the planet until we learned to control fire.
Mm-hmm.
And then we wouldn't be anywhere without fire today.
That was Joel Elston from December 2012, my first interview with him. Hope you enjoyed it. We'll see you all next time here on LOA Today. Goodbye, everybody. It might seem-